thank Fred for this opportunity of coming to speak again this morning. I hope he's having safety and a good time in Costa Rica. I'm sure wherever Fred is, he's having a good time. It doesn't matter where it is. I've known him a long time, and he's having a good time, I can guarantee you. Renee will have to keep him in line. Did any of you recognize the text this morning, the scripture that Brenning read? Well, that scripture from Luke, the 21st chapter, if you have a Bible like mine that has captions before some of the Bible verses, that's called the widow's offering, or as when I was growing up, we called it the widow's mite, because it was so small a gift. We called it a mite, something very small. The little teeny bugs, the mites. So we call it the widow's mite. In June of this year, I went to the United Methodist Women's Retreat at Junaluska, our spiritual growth retreat, and our speaker was Dr. Dawn Hand from down in the Matthews area. And on Friday night, she spoke on having a giving heart. And you kind of expect this kind of a message when United Methodist women are together, because the primary purpose is giving to missions. In fact, our district, Western North Carolina District, has led the nation in giving to missions for 9 consecutive years. And this is amazing when you consider some of the small groups we have, because we have a lot of small churches. We have larger churches, and we have some churches that may have 10 or 12 people at worship on Sunday. So you figure that out of that, and then the economy the way it is, it's a blessing that we're able to give that much to the mission. So I wasn't really surprised when she started talking about giving. I kind of expected at least one of the messages to be about giving. But she read this text, and I started thinking about it after her message, and, you know, there's all kinds of ways to give. And so today I'd like to share just some of my thoughts about that. This morning as we're sitting here, can you picture the story in the scripture? Can you picture the story? It took place in the temple, and a house of worship. This could be the temple for us. Can you picture that place this morning with all kinds of activity going on? And have you ever read or remember reading how the temple isn't always a nice place? That was the first place that Jesus lost his temper, was at the temple when he went in and found them cheating the people. And Jesus actually got mad and threw the tables down the steps and kicked them out of the church. So he knew what the church was for. He says it's supposed to be a house of worship, and you've made it a den of vipers. So the temple wasn't always a really good place to worship. In fact, in the chapter preceding this is when Jesus threw them out of the temple, and he gave kind of a put down to the scribes or the chief priests when he said they like to walk around in big robes, bright colors, and be seen. And when they stand up to pray, they use big flowery words, and they have this voice that cries out and everything, but the prayer means nothing. So he was giving a put down on them. So we have the temple this morning, this place that we come to worship, or that they came to worship in our story today. And then we have people bringing their gifts to God, and we have all sorts of people. We have the leaders of the church, the scribes and the priests, and we have rich people and we have poor people. We have all kinds of people, just like today. Can you picture this morning in your mind the rich people coming? Probably dressed in the bright colors of cloth, which were very hard to find then and very expensive to get the dyes and the fancy cloth. It was very expensive in Jesus' time to have those types of garments. And they were probably trying to speak louder, because Jesus had said before, they liked big flowery words. They were trying to speak louder than everybody around them so they could be heard. Here I come to temple, I'm bringing my gifts. And they probably had big sacks of money. And maybe they didn't really have that much money. They just broke it down into small coins so it looked like a whole lot. But it was for show anyway, so it didn't make any difference what was in their bags. And they brought it and they put it down on the altar, and it made a racket when it hit. They weren't really interested in anybody around them, not really paying a whole lot of attention to the people around them. They were paying attention to themselves. Well, then here comes the widow. And we don't even know her name. The only thing she is called is widow. So that's what I'll have to call her today, is widow, because I don't know her name. She came down the aisle. And can you picture widow coming today? Maybe she's bent over a little bit. It said she was old. I picture her as old. Maybe her hair's not really, really pretty and silky and shiny. She didn't have any conditioner to put on it this morning. She didn't have it curled up or pulled up with a scrunchie or anything like that. See, I'm learning these words having granddaughters. I raised a son, so I wasn't familiar with hair conditioner and scrunchies and all, but I'm learning. And I'm learning it takes longer to comb their hair and get them ready than it did a boy, too. But she came down the aisle, and maybe she was walking with her feet shuffling. As we get older, we take smaller steps because we're afraid we'll fall. My dad does that. I'll say, pick your feet up, Bill. He'll pick them up for a while, and then he'll start shuffling again. So maybe her clothes were not real clean. Maybe they were torn. Can you see her with maybe the hem of her skirt where it had been dragging the ground? Maybe it was kind of raggedy looking. And she came down holding two small coins, two pennies. When I did this message at our church, and I gave the kids two pennies, told them to take it home and keep it and think what God could do with two pennies and keep it. Think what he could do with a small gift. But maybe widow was afraid she'd drop these. It said it's all she had. So she was holding them tight in her hand so she wouldn't drop them. And she came down and put them on the altar. Can you see her come down and put them on the altar? Well, why did Jesus see widow enough to make her important enough to make a lesson in the Bible about widow? Why did he see her? Why did he single widow out? There were so many more people, so much more prominent, that everybody else was probably looking at. Why do you think Jesus saw a widow come in? Everybody else, the scripture says, was there to give what they had left over. After they had eaten out a few times that week, after they had paid the payment on their camper or their boat or their vacation home or something like that, whatever they had left over, they brought it to church. But widow gave everything that she had. She only had two pennies to live on. If we want to break it down in two small copper coins, that's two pennies to us. But Jesus looked at widow's heart. And folks, today Jesus still looks at hearts. He doesn't look at what we look at. Jesus looks at hearts. He's in the heart business. When we think about giving, we automatically think about money. Especially when somebody in the pulpit talks about giving, you think, oh my goodness, here it is, Stewardship Sunday already. Do my pledge, if we do pledges, or figure out what I'm going to give, you know. Well, it does take money to run a church. It takes money to maintain this building or any church building. Your utilities, your insurance, your improvements. You have salaries in the church, your pastor. Some of the employees of the church that keep this building looking so nice. So it does take money. And then all through the year we're asked to give special offerings. You know, Givens Estate on Mother's Day. And then you have college Sundays when school starts back and things like that. So it's a lot of money that we give to church. But today we're rich. We are rich people. We're rich in gifts from God. Maybe not what's jingling in our pockets or folded up in our wallets, but we're rich in what God gave us. We all woke up this morning. That's a gift from God. We came from home today. We came from some kind of a structure that is safe and it's comfortable and it meets our needs to keep us out of the weather. The roof doesn't leak. The air conditioner works or the furnace works in the wintertime. So we came from a place that God has given us as a blessing. There was food at home, and maybe we chose not to eat it. Kids sometimes choose not to eat it, but there was food there. All we had to do was take it out and eat it. We rode in some kind of a motorized vehicle this morning, and it was probably air conditioned. You know, it's not the kind anymore where you have to roll the windows down and hope you don't have to stop at a red light before you get wherever you're going. You have the little button you push on about every car now. And we didn't have to walk very far to get into this building. Just here, over here, wherever we came from. And we're sitting on cushioned seats in an air-conditioned building. What more could we ask for? We're rich. Now, I didn't say money. We're rich in money. Because I know it takes money to live and money to have that home, money to have that food, that vehicle, and money to maintain this building. But if we look around us in parts of Asheville, in parts of Inca Candler, in Leicester, where I live, there are people who merely exist. They don't have enough to do what we call live. They just exist. God has given them breath, and that's about all they have. Now, we can give money to the church. We put a few dollars in the offering plate, or we write a check, and that's the easy part for most of us. That's the easy part. But what about other ways we can give? I notice in your bulletin, just like in ours, there are things coming up for giving. There's ABCCM, and there's Habitat for Humanity. I noticed your offering last Sunday. There's the Backpack Ministry, all kinds of food pantries. And at Grace, we help one of the schools at Christmas time with the Christmas Project, which provides new outfits of clothing for children at Leicester School who are in need. And we make food donations to ABCCM and also support the Backpack Ministry. So all the churches are giving these things. We're giving all this kind of stuff. Dix Creek, our sister church, supports children in Honduras. It's a very small church, but they support two orphans in Honduras, sending them money, and they send them cards, and the kids will send them back pictures that they've drawn and things. Very good. And they also support the prison ministry by sponsoring inmates to be able to take them out to come to worship or anything like that. But these are things that we can see and we can touch, aren't they? We can see food. We can touch food. We can fill a backpack. We can clean out our closets, but don't clean them out the way I clean them out when you clean out your closet. Don't clean out your closet. You take this out and you look at it and you say, 10 pounds and I could wear this. You lay it over here. And then you pick this one up and you say, well, if I gain 10 more, I'll put it over here. No, if you can't wear it, throw it out. But I've encouraged our people to give to a clothes closet. You know, we take ours down to Goodwill most of the time, and they sell it to provide training and everything, and that's good. But if you take it to a church that has a clothes closet, or maybe you have one, I don't know, that clothing is given free to somebody that needs it. They're not charged for it. So I'm a big believer in supporting clothes closets, whether it be through ABCCM, the women's shelter, churches, just somebody in the neighborhood that you might know, and you, or somebody, you know, ask them, you got anybody in your family that needs this? My kids have outgrown it. I'm definitely not going to have any more. So can you use it? That's what I encourage you to do. But when we touch all these things and give them away, what about our life? I don't mean this, that I can touch, you know, and spruce up and it still doesn't look any better, but anyway. But when we have our life, we have 24 hours in every day, and we can't add a minute to that. There's 24 hours in every day, and hard as you try, you cannot make it 24 hours in 1 minute. It's 24 hours. But God's given all of us the same amount of time. So it's what we do with it that becomes important. Do we do like the rich people in our story did? Do we give God the time in our life that's left over? After we've done everything we want to do, do we give him the 5 minutes that may be left over right before we zonk out to sleep at night? We say our prayer, God bless everybody, thank you, amen. Do we do that kind of thing? Or do we give God first, the best? Do we single out our best time, our best efforts for God first? And I know that living is hard. Living is hard, especially hard for people who are raising a family. It's hard this day and time to raise a family. There's so many things taking our time. We have work. We have our family. And somehow that consumes pretty much all of our waking day. I realize that. And by the time we get home, we don't have time for anything else or the energy for anything else. But what we have to do is ask God to help us find a few minutes, find some time. Have you ever felt like this? I don't feel like getting dressed this morning and going to church. I worked in that yard all day yesterday, and it was over 90 degrees again. And I need me some rest right here in bed with the air conditioner going. I go to church next Sunday. Or ladies, have you ever felt like this? I've worked all week. Sunday is going to be for me. Honey, you get these kids out of the house. You don't come back till supper time, and you bring it with you. Have you ever felt like that? Whatever the reason might be, let's face it, we've all made excuses. I have. There are a lot of Sundays I wake up after a hard week or a hard weekend and feel like everything's closing in on me. And I wake up the regular time anyway, and I think, boy, I'll just sleep in this morning. I won't go to Sunday school. There's somebody will teach them kids. I don't need to go to Sunday school. You know, life will go on. Nobody's irreplaceable. We all know that. But I told God I would teach that Sunday school class. So I get going. And you know what? When, once I get going and get there, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. The longest day of the week is Sunday without church. That is the longest day of the week. When my dad was sick a few weeks ago and couldn't go to church, he about drove me crazy Sunday evening. What day is it anyway? This has been the longest day. Ain't it Monday yet? No, it ain't Monday, Daddy. It's Sunday. But it's been the longest day because he didn't go to church. And he thought it was the longest day of the week. But let's try to keep these excuses that we've got down to a minimum if we can. And we know we need time to recharge our batteries and take a trip away like Fred and Renee have, but and things like that, or take a vacation. God wants you to have time to recharge your batteries and come back. But how can you give your time to God? What's a good way to do it? Well, we're sitting in the best place to give back. Now, let's face it. There's Sunday school. There's Bible school. There's choir. There's visitations. There's mission work. There's men's meetings. There's ladies' meetings. There's sending a card, giving a call to somebody that's sick, visiting in the nursing homes. There's all kinds of things. And if you can't find something that you like to do, I can guarantee you if you ask Fred, he'll find you something that you can do to help. And some of us are not working. Now, some of us, not by choice, but we're not working. So, we have some extra time, maybe. I don't really know how I had time to work before my job ended in February, and I don't even know how I had time to get there 8 hours a day. But you can volunteer. And that means you give your time and you don't expect money for it. You don't expect to be paid. And there's all kinds of ways to volunteer. You support an excellent way when you support Habitat for Humanity. There's a man in our church who goes every Monday. And this past week, he went 2 days to work. He's 75, and he goes and works every week for Habitat for Humanity. They're building the houses down here just off of High Alta, out in the West Asheville area, right above where my son lives, and building some nice homes. And they're giving their time. They're volunteering for people to have houses that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford a quality house. They just couldn't afford it. And that's a blessing that people do that. Or how about helping neighbors with chores around the house? There's a lot of people that help out. People that can't do things. As you get older, like me, you can't mow the banks with a weed eater anymore. A weed eater and I just do not get along anymore. The lawnmower and I are still on speaking terms, but the weed eater and I are enemies. So I have a boy in our church who's saving money to buy him a vehicle when he gets old enough to drive. So he mows my yards for a few bucks. Helps me and him both. It's real easy to say, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time for a daily devotion. I don't have time to thank God. But that's something we've got to make time for. We've got to do that first when our feet hit the floor, or before they hit the floor. Like me, it takes them longer to hit the floor than it used to. You've got to wake up. You don't want to shock your system too bad. I wake up gradually. It's really easy not to do something, isn't it? Just to sit back and don't do anything. That's the easy part. It's hard to step up and do it. It's hard to give your best first, isn't it? Especially when we're talking about our time. But do you see Widow today? Did you see her? She's coming down the aisle with her two little coins coming to the altar. Do you think that widow gave God thanks before she came to temple that day? Before she came to church this morning? I would say she most probably gave God thanks every day, because nobody can give everything they've got without thanking God for it and asking for His guidance. There's no way you can give up everything you've got without putting God in it. That's just not possible, I don't think. He has to be at the center of it, or you wouldn't even think to give up everything you've got. So widow definitely thanked God, I believe. Did you see widow this morning? Did you see her come down the aisle with her two coins? She might be sitting right here this morning. She may have been here for so long that we don't recognize her anymore. Widow might be the person who was there when you needed a friend or you needed a kind word. Widow might be the person whose prayer was answered in your life. Widow is all around us. In the Saturday session of the spiritual growth retreat I told you about a few minutes ago, we had the deaf singers come to sing for us from Long's Chapel. And they signed the words to songs. The group's made up of deaf people and also a couple of people who can hear that guide them around and everything and, you know, tell them what to do. They understand what's going on. And I can't sign, but that was the most beautiful thing I have ever seen, was how precise and graceful their hands were when they signed the language to the songs. What a talent God had given those people and the people that direct them. They were giving their best. These deaf people were giving all they knew how to do to sign language. They gave everything. And the song they did was "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." How many of you have heard Ray Bolt's song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord"? Well, I want to share some of the words to that song for you this morning. Just, I'm not going to sing it by any means. I'm going to read it. So don't everybody head to the door at one time. I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, "Friend, you may not remember me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart." Another young man came forward and said, "Remember the missionary who came to our church? His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took that gift you gave, and that's why I'm in heaven today." One by one they came as far as your eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices that you made, they were unnoticed on this earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, he said, "My child, look around you. This is your great reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave." I thought that song was so fitting to end the message that we'd had on the widow's mite and on the giving, the sermon of giving. The song described exactly about having a giving heart, didn't it? Not one time did it mention a lot of money. It mentioned giving a small amount to a missionary. It mentioned giving time more than anything else. Time to children and time to God. You can see by this and by widow's two small coins that she brought down here today that no gift is too small for God. God can work miracles out of two copper coins. He can work miracles out of your hour on Sunday morning, or 2 hours. Your 30 minutes teaching a Sunday school class. Your 5 minutes making a phone call. Maybe your $10 or your $1 to ABCCM or Habitat for Humanity. God can work miracles with the small gifts. So can you see widow today? Can you look around maybe and see widow? A small gift working a miracle? And can we be like her today? Can we be widow today? Can I be widow today? Can I give God the best first and not give him what's left over? Thank you. I think our final hymn is next. Final hymn is next. Okay. Let's stand and sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness, one of my favorites.